with power. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, a life-changing message. A life-changing message. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Lord's Day that we could be in the Lord's house and we could be about the Master's business. To preach, to teach, to sing, to fellowship, to worship. Pray, Lord, that you'll use what has been accomplished here today. And as we go out this week, Lord, to go about our daily activities and our jobs and our schedules and our taking care of our families, we pray, Lord, that we'll take what we've heard and learned today, be a help, a blessing. I pray these few moments we have around the Word of God tonight that you'll just speak to our hearts, give us a great love for your Word tonight, love for the power of your Word, and everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. One of the interesting things that I enjoy, and it's kind of comical sometimes, is when we get to the end of an old year and beginning a new year, there's a lot of those TV shows, sports specials, news documentaries that like to go back and look at those great events of the past year. Being a sports fan myself, I especially like to see that one. I like to remember all the great plays and the great events and the championships and who'd ever thought we'd live long enough to see the Cubs win a World Series, you know? I mean, you know, so that's pretty cool. But and many times they'll go back and do these news events that changed history. They'll look back at some things, and honestly, some things that happened, I go, well, I didn't know that happened. But they think it's newsworthy, or they think it's history-making. Of course, there's a lot of things that happen that we look back and we say, wow, that does change things. I'm convinced that the greatest life-changing message is the message of the truth of the Word of God. And if there's anything that can change people's lives for all of eternity, it's not something found in this world or found on the internet or found in a bottle or found in drugs or found in entertainment, but it is found in the Word of God. And if 2017 is going to be the life-changing year for you, it has to be a year that is founded and based in the Word of God. We find in Luke chapter 4, in the life of Jesus, this chapter is just a wonderful chapter of his life and his ministry. We find at the beginning of the chapter, we find him being led out into the wilderness following his baptism as he's tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. After that period of time, and he returns to Galilee, and he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth where he's raised, and he begins to teach in the synagogues. And what's interesting, by the time you get to verse 28 and 29 of chapter 4, we find that Jesus is being run out of town, out of his own hometown. They rejected his message. They rejected his teaching. They rejected him. And so they let him out of town, let him off up to the top of a cliff, and with the intent of throwing him off the cliff, but Jesus kind of makes his way through the crowd and kind of ducks in and out and gets on, and he moves on. And we find in verses 31 and 32 that he makes his way to another city in the area of Galilee, another town. It's called Capernaum. It is here that we find that Jesus spends a good bit of his time, of this part of his ministry. And we find here that he continues the practice of what he was doing in Nazareth earlier in the chapter, that he continues the practice to go into the Jewish synagogue each and every week on the Sabbath day for the very purpose of teaching. There's some things about this life-changing message. And if you want to have a life-changing year, if your life wants to be different for God, then there's some things we need to understand that we can learn from Jesus' example here in these two verses that we read a moment ago of how that will help us face 2017. We find, number one, we find that Jesus taught the Word. Notice that when he was in Nazareth, he does the same thing in Capernaum. It says that he went down and he taught them on the Sabbath day. Now, it's really important to remember that for the Jewish tradition, that when they met on the Sabbath day, that they would take and read through the Word of God, the Old Testament. And it was interesting that we find back up in the passage that we did not read when he was in Nazareth, beginning there in verse 17 and 18, that when Jesus showed up at the synagogue in Nazareth, that part of their order of service, if you want to call it that, would be the time where one of the rabbis would get up and begin reading from the Old Testament. And basically they had this way that each Sabbath meeting, there was a portion of the Old Testament that was read. They would go straight through the Bible, the Old Testament, and reading that. Well, guess what? The day that Jesus shows up is the day where he stands up to read, and when he reads, he opens it up, and guess what the reading was that day? Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And it is a prophecy speaking about of Jesus, the Messiah, coming and what he was going to do when he would come. He reads that passage in verses 18 and 19. He sits down, closes the book, and everybody's looking at him like, why didn't you finish reading? And he hands it back to them and he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Basically, what he did right there in Nazareth was he's claiming to be the Messiah that Isaiah was speaking about in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He claims to be fulfilling that right in front of them. Boy, aren't you glad you didn't miss church that morning? Everybody went home and said, hey, guess what happened at synagogue reading today? And so it was really interesting that that's just the portion that you say, well, boy, it sure was lucky. No, there's no such thing as luck with God. It's always divine providence. God's always working. God's plan. That's exactly what was to happen on that day. So Jesus makes his way, and after he's rejected, he goes to Capernaum. And he does the very same thing, but he does more than just read. We find that he begins to teach. He begins to teach the Word of God. And it says back in Nazareth that he would teach them. It says back up in verse 14, he went around through Galilee teaching, verse 15, in their synagogues. And so when he comes down to Capernaum, he's going to do the same thing. Now, it was very easy for these Jewish people to recognize that what Jesus was preaching and teaching was different than what they previously heard from these other rabbis. They knew something was different. See, what he was doing, he was teaching them the Word. He was giving them the truth of Scripture. In Mark's Gospel, in the parallel account of this passage we just read, Mark says it like this. It says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. For those people who think that Jesus just went around trying to drum up his poll numbers of popularity are sadly mistaken. Jesus' primary reason was to teach them the message of God so they could understand why it was he had come. They wanted them to know who he was. What better way for that was than to teach them? But see, there was a problem in those days, and that's the problem we face in our modern day churches as well. Many people have gotten used to the fact of not being taught the Word, but just others tell them what they think about the Word. There are people today that they do not know specifics about the Bible, they just know about the Bible. Because there's no teaching. Jesus taught them the truth of the Word. He taught the Word of God. That brings me to the second point, and that is this. We see that his doctrine came from the Word. Notice verse 32. His doctrine came from the Word. And they were astonished at his doctrine. The word doctrine is just simply teaching. Teaching. Had a very popular former leader of a large congregation that once said that he didn't believe in any doctrine. I'm like, well, he's got a problem. Doctrine just simply means teaching, means beliefs. What is it that you believe? You believe something. You believe the sky is blue, the grass is green, you know, and macaroni cheese is wonderful. Amen? I mean, you believe something. All right? Jesus' doctrine came from the Word. And the problem in some modern churches is the same problem they were having in the early days of Jesus' ministry, is the fact that they weren't being taught the specifics of what God said in His Word. They were just being taught people's opinion about the Word. It was a very common practice in those days for rabbis to teach more about the teaching of other rabbis and their arguments over what they thought about the various parts of Scripture than to actually focus on teaching the people what the Word of God says. And that's exactly some of the things we see in other places today. People are not being taught what God's Word says. They're just got somebody up there just telling them what they think about it and how they feel about it, how it ought to make you feel, how you should feel, how you should react. That is a very big problem. So Jesus was different. He was not interested in the opinions of man. He declared the truths that the Holy Spirit of God had inspired to be written down and explained how they could apply to their daily life and what God expected of His people. His doctrine came from the Word. So my question to you tonight is, what do you believe and where'd you get that? It's dangerous for us to walk around, and I'm talking to people like me who've been raised in church all their lives. It's dangerous for us to walk around believing certain things without having anything to go back and hang our hat on from the Word of God about it. I've heard many well-meaning, good people say, well, that's what I've always been taught. But is it in the Bible? Well, I don't know. And sometimes we talk about some things so much, we assume that they're in the Bible. Because, I mean, bless your heart, Grandma, boy, she was good. I mean, she was a good old soul. And I love Grandma, and I love Papa, and I love them all. But I believe that they should tell you also that what you believe ought to come from the Word of God. It's dangerous for any of us to base our lives upon hearsay. And just because Mom and Daddy said it doesn't make it true. There are times that where we have to take what's being said or some generally popular belief, and we need to compare it to the truths of the Word of God. And what we may find is, well, if we find that the Word of God teaches that, then bless God, go with it. Amen. Carry on. But when we find that the Bible doesn't teach that, in fact, if the Bible teaches something totally different, then that means we need to change what we believe about certain things. I could give you many examples of things that I've learned about that through the years. I'll not do that tonight. But just simply say this. When Jesus came and taught the Word, number one, we find that, number two, His doctrine came from the Word. Make sure what it is you believe, you know what you believe and you know why. And you make sure it comes from the Word of God. As a preacher, there are many wonderful godly men that I have heard through the years. I've read their books. I have many on my shelves, and great men of God and great writings and teachings and sermons and so forth. But even with that, I should never get up here and say, well, this is this so-and-so and so-so because of what preacher so-and-so said. Well, thank God for preacher so-and-so, and I thank God for him. But if preacher so-and-so didn't base it on the Word of God, then we all got a problem, you see. So Jesus taught the Word. Secondly, His doctrine came from the Word. Notice number three, last. We see that He shared the Word with power. Notice verse 32. And as they were astonished at His doctrine, notice this, for His Word was with power. Now again, remind you what Mark had said, that they were astonished because He taught as one who had authority. You see, there is enormous power and authority when we stand up and boldly say, thus saith the Lord. Now I thank God for Christian magazines and Christian literature. Thank God for Christian music. Thank God for Christian influence and caring about the message of the gospel in any way we can. But there's nothing that should ever supersede the thus saith the Lord. Because when God says it, that settles it. And we should go with the power that comes and the authority that comes when we say, this is what God's word says. Now, it does not do you any good, and it doesn't do me any good for you to walk out of here and from week to week and say, well, that's what Preacher Mark says. And that's what Preacher Mark says, and that's what I'm going to go with. Thank you for your support, but there's no authority in that. There's no power in that. Our ideas, our opinions do not carry the weight to bring conviction of sin to the hearts of people who are without Christ. Our goal is to share to a lost and dying world the loving truth of the Word of God that can change their lives. CNN will never save a soul. Fox News will never be the soul-saving station. Every talk show, every internet access point could never ever do what the Holy Spirit of God can do with the Word of God. So, we don't need to get carried away. It bothers me sometimes when we can come to church and talk more about the sports game last week than we do about the things of God. And there are more conversations that take place sometimes that deal with politics and news events and ball scores than to do with share the things about what God's doing in our lives. I can go down to the barbershop and get everything I need to know about politics and gossip. Amen? I need to come to church and hear what God's doing. What God can do in your life. How God can change your life. Now, there's no bigger sports fan than me. Growing up, I loved sports so much, if I saw a red ant and a black ant run against each other, I'd stop and cheer one of them on. Amen. I want to see somebody win, you know. But listen, sports won't save souls. Only the gospel message can save souls. Now, I love traveling. I love doing lots of things and hobbies and stuff like that. And that's wonderful. But let's talk about the things of God more than we do anything else. It is the power of the Word of God that changes lives. Noted author and famous American author Mark Twain once said this, and I quote, he said, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand." Mark Twain was a skeptic. I'm not so sure about his religious leanings and on different things, but he hit it right on the head that time. The parts of the Bible that I do understand, those are the parts that bother me because it causes me that I have to make decisions. Though the Bible may not be accepted or appreciated, the power of the Word of God can never be denied. It is the Word of God, shared in the power of God, that changes people's lives. You know, this world has looked for every way to change people's hearts, attitudes, directions, and about anything and everything. But it is only the Word of God that can change people's lives. So my question is this, why do we spend so little time talking about it, studying it, and reading it? Why do we spend so little time interested in it? What's sad is I could stand up here and talk to y'all about politics and sports and everything else, and people would just clue in on me and never take their eyes off me. But I stand here and preach, and I can't get some people's attention. Even tonight. Amen. Can't understand it. Don't understand why some men of God that I leave in my place to carry on in my place in my absence tell me that it seems that people just don't seem interested when they teach or preach. That's a problem, folks. It's a real problem. It's a problem tonight that when we seem more interested in other conversations than we are about the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, that's a little harsh." Well, you better be glad I'm not like my pastor. I tell you about my pastor who's in heaven. I wish y'all could meet him. You will meet him one day, by the way, if you're saved. But my pastor, Morris, used to, he'd call people down in church. by name during the service, during the sermon. Now, I'm not talking about the little kids that rode our buses. I'm talking about adults and deacons and Sunday school teachers that sit there and talk during church and carry on doing something else. And he just stopped in the middle and says, listen, whatever you're doing, talk about back there, call them by name. Says, that's not more important than what I'm doing up here. What I'm doing up here is more important than what you're talking about. So you listen up. Now, you talking about getting blistered. Now, that blistered you. So y'all better be thankful I'm not exactly like my preacher. But it is a life-changing message. The Word of God changes things. Let me leave you with this truth. When we tell people the truth of the Word of God, we give them a message that with the power of God can change and transform their lives. So I want to challenge you this year. Make the Word of God more important in your life. Make the reading and the teaching and the studying of the Word of God more important. I thank God for some of you who take notes. You bring your Bibles and your notebooks and your pens and you're writing things down and underlining and everything. I think that's wonderful. I think it's great. I go back and read all the notes that I've taken through the years and they're a blessing again to go back and read and study. I encourage you to do that if the Lord lays that on your heart. But make it such an important part of your life. Make it an important part of what we do around here. Let's pray together. Let's stand as we dismiss. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We thank you for the power of your word to change lives and make a difference. Thank you, Lord, as we gather here on a Sunday night, that we can walk out of here take in our hands the precious, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That we can go out in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and share the love of Jesus that will change people's lives. Lord, I pray that we'll take and treasure the opportunity we have each and every week. That when we sit under the teaching of your Scripture, your Word, that we'll take and let it make a difference in our hearts. That we'll do something with it. Father, I pray that what's been done here today will bring honor and glory to your name. I pray that what we've heard and learned will make a difference. So as we leave this place today, I know the next couple days some folks are out of school and off work maybe for a day or two. Schedules might be just a little different over the next day or so, but that's okay. I pray, Lord, that we'll find peace and comfort in getting into your word, read and study and find, Lord, that what you need to do in our lives. Lord, bless us through this week. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.